Many years ago, I had a bird aviary. If you know anything about birds, when you purchase them from bird stores, what they do is they don't put them in a cage when you buy new birds. They actually put them in a paper bag. They seal the top of the bag, they put staples in the top, and they put little holes for the birds to breathe, get fresh air. These two birds were called, I think, Java sparrows. Java sparrows have got very fine gray feathers, bright pink eyes, red circles around the eyes, and a very bright reddish beak. Very impressive looking birds. I took this bag of birds back to my office and put the bag on the desk in my office. And I was very intrigued and fascinated by how people reacted when they came into my office. They'd come in and say, "Hey Ray," and they'd talk to me about something, and suddenly they'd be distracted by this bag that was on my desk that moved by itself. They'd say, "Hey, what's that?" I'd say, "Take a look, couple of birds." They'd pick them up, look through the little hole, and everyone would have the same reaction. They'd go, "Whoa, what sort of birds are those?" And I took great delight in saying, "Mexican eye peckers." And everybody reacted exactly the same. They'd pull it back, because we want to protect our eyes. I don't know if you realize it, but you've been created with sensors even on your skin. If you lean on a hot plate, and you wait for your brain to think about it, say, "Oh, I'm leaning on a hot plate. I could get burned." By the time you think about it, you'll be severely burned. There are sensors on your skin that react automatically, irrespective of your will. It's an instinct. You'll pull back. Same with your eyes. If I came along the line today and went to poke out one of your eyes, you'd immediately, instinctively react to protect your eyes with your hands. Now, that thought in mind, I've got a thought for you. Imagine if I was an eye doctor, and today I'm offering $1 million for an eye. We want to transplant eyes, and I can take one of your eyes out in 1 hour. Painless operation. We'll take the eye out, slip a little glass eye in the slot. The glass eye will look as good as the other eye. It just won't look as good as the other eye. You won't be able to see through one eye. Would you sell an eye for $1 million? You say, "Ah, and I would consider that." Okay. Here it is. Would you sell both of your eyes for $20 million? You say, "Hey, $20 million? Whoa, now I can see the world." Nope. You won't see a thing. You'll never gaze into the eyes of your children. You'll never look at a sunset again. You'll never see the blueness of a sky. You'll never look at God's creation again. You won't even see the inside of your eyelids. You just have blackness forever until the day you die. I guarantee nobody in his right mind would even for a moment consider selling both of his eyes for $20 million, $50 million, $100 million. Your eyes are precious, they're priceless, and yet they're merely the windows of your soul. Your life looks through these little windows called eyes. You've got little shutters. You shut the shutters, and you can't see out the eyes. Now, Jesus said you're to despise the value of those precious eyes compared to the value of your soul. He put it this way: if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. He said, if your eye causes you to sin, just pull it out, priceless though it may be, and don't leave it hanging around, cast it from you. And then he said, for it is better to enter heaven without an eye than to go to hell with both of your eyes. In other words, of all the things you should prioritize in this life, it's not your health, it's not your eyesight. It's the salvation of your soul, that very life that is precious to you. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And I want you to know I'm here today, not to get your money, there's no collection, not to say to join a church, it's just to ask you to consider the salvation of your soul. Think of your eye and how you value it, how much more you should value your eternal salvation. Where are you going to spend eternity? And the way I'm going to hopefully cause you to consider the salvation of your soul is just very briefly go through the Ten Commandments that you might see yourself from God's perspective. Now, as you notice in our city today, there's no smog. Look around. Clean as a whistle. Blue sky. Clean air. It's the other cities that have a smog problem. You can see the smog in the other cities. Trouble is, you go to those other cities and look around, you'll say, "Hey, there's no smog problem here." What you must do to see it, truth, is get in a plane and fly over Los Angeles, and you see that we're breathing in black poison. You're in the middle of it, you don't see it clearly. Well, I want to give you God's perspective on sin. Because when you're a person living in sin, you don't see yourself in truth. God's perspective is this. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. It says we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. So let's go through those commandments so you might see yourself from God's perspective. Let's go to the heavy one. You shall not kill. That means you shall not murder. Doesn't mean you shouldn't step on an ant. It means you shouldn't take the life of another human being. You say, oh, well, I haven't committed that sin. Listen to what the Bible says. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. The Bible says God requires truth in the inward parts, and he considers the desire as the same as the deed. You shall not commit adultery. But listen to what Jesus said. Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Ever hated someone? Ever lusted after another person? Then you've violated those two commandments. Ever told a lie? Ever stolen something? Then you're a lying thief. Ever desired something belonged to somebody else? That's covetousness. Violation of the 10th commandment. The first commandment is you shall have no other gods before me. That means God should be first in your affections. He lavished his goodness upon you. He gave you life. He gave you those eyes that you value. That brain you think with. Those hands that you pick up things. God created you. You're not an accident. The Bible says he's familiar with every hair upon your head, every thought within your heart. The Psalm said, there's not a word on my tongue, but lo, O Lord, that you know it all together. Nothing you've ever said, God hasn't heard. Nothing you've ever done, God hasn't seen. He sees everything. All things lie open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. Now think of those commandments. Think how you've used his name in vain. Use the name of God as a cuss word. Think of how you violated the second commandment by creating a God in your own image. Making a God to suit yourself when there is one God who is perfect, holy, and righteous. And he's the one you've got to stand in front of. Now folks, I know this isn't pleasant looking at our sins from God's perspective, but we have to face them on Judgment Day. And if we die in our sins, the Bible says we'll end up in hell. The scriptures warn all liars of their part in the lake of fire. But the scriptures say the same judge, the same holy, righteous creator, is rich in mercy. And it's because of his mercy he became a person in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth to suffer and die for the sin of the world. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood so you could leave the courtroom. You're waiting to go to court today, probably because you violated a law. Imagine if someone paid your fine. You accept that payment, then you're free to go. The judge will say, you're out of here, the fine is paid. That's what Jesus Christ did for you in his life's blood. He suffered and died for the sin of the world. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were rebels, holding our fist in rebellion to God, unthankful, unholy, not concerned about the God who gave us life, not considering his demands for one moment. Drinking in iniquity like water, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And then he rose again on the third day and defeated death. And now the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the only one who can save you from God's wrath. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, only through Jesus Christ. So please consider seriously the claims of the Bible. Think about your eternal salvation. Because again, there is nothing more important than where you spend eternity. Remember what Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So realize today that God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness. So make sure you repent. Don't just confess your sins to God. Confess and forsake them. And don't just believe in Jesus. Trust in him as you trust a parachute to save you. Folks, please do it today. You may not be here tomorrow. Did you know that every single month in America alone, 45,000 people die of cancer? cancer could be within your body at the moment. The odds are one or two people in this line have got terminal cancer. You say, I hope it's not me, it's always someone else. Human nature believes that. But I tell you what, if you found that you had cancer today, you would cry out, oh God, I don't want to die. That's your God-given will to live. Listen to it, because you have a terminal disease. You are dying. Today you could be swept into eternity. Could be tomorrow somebody finds they've got cancer, at least they're stopped in their tracks, at least they're humbled by the disease, to turn to God. So they have an advantage over you who are not concerned the fact that you're going to die, that you are terminal. So think about these issues and think about why I'm speaking to you. This isn't fun. I don't like doing this. I don't want your money. I'm not saying join a church. I do it only because I care about you and where you spend eternity. So please give that some consideration.